From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
In the United States, pandemic health and safety restrictions are loosening, and we are likely to see in this weekend celebration of Mother's Day a more intense celebration of mothers than usual. After the challenges of the last year, there's a renewed appreciation for that special role mothers play. Register contributor Erica Ahern and our senior editor Joan Frawley Desmond join us in a conversation on how mothers weathered the pandemic. And then we'll get an update from the Register's Elisa Murphy on the stories you don't want to miss from ncregister.com, including a look at artificial intelligence and politicians and communion. And no, those two things are not connected. I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register, joined by my co-host, Matthew Bunsen. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, good to be with you.
So we have a great celebration this weekend. I myself am looking forward, of course, to Mother's Day, and this has been an annual celebration for many years now.
Well, it has, and first, congratulations. I know you're a mother a number of times over now, so.
Three.
Three. Well, you're right. The Mother's Day was established, I think, sort of officially when it was signed by Woodrow Wilson in 1914 as a national holiday. And since then, we've been celebrating Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May in the U.S. Of course, last year, most of us celebrated the day with our immediate families from the isolation imposed on us because of the coronavirus. But as you also noted, this year's Mother's Day, I think, is going to be very different as more and more people are able to reunite, to really go out and celebrate. So there's much to appreciate mothers for every year. But this year, I think, brings a lot of special challenges and opportunities to moms.
Yes, I certainly feel that. Yeah, I feel that opportunity myself. There's much to reflect upon in this year. And joining us for this discussion on motherhood and the pandemic are Erica Ahern and Joan Frawley Desmond, as I mentioned. And our listeners are familiar with Joan, a senior editor at the Register who's been writing for the Register probably since before her now grown children were born. It's been quite some time. Joan has been in touch with mothers during this year for a few stories, and we'll hear more about that shortly. But welcome, Joan.
Thank you.
And, of course, Erica is joining us. Erica is a mother of six and a senior classical educator, consultant, and writer at Verity Ed. She also writes for the Register. And she wrote our May 9th print edition's editorial, a guest editorial, on mothers and Mother's Day. I invited Erica to write this editorial because she's done such a great job over the course of this year writing about her own role as a mother and homeschooler and who also works outside of the home. Welcome, Erica, to Register Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Erica, let's kick off the conversation with you. You jumped at the chance to write the editorial when I asked. I mean, you just dropped what you were doing, basically, and wrote it in a day, which was just awesome. And I'm wondering what kind of framed your thoughts as you began to write this piece that would be read by many, many people about mothers on this special day?
Right. I think that the primary, I had sort of two reactions when you called. And my first was, you know, obviously we're looking at this Mother's Day, as was just discussed, through the lens of the pandemic and this sort of special moment in our own history and our experience of motherhood. And there were kind of two threads there. On the one hand, there was this painful separation because of the lockdowns, because of the pandemic restrictions. A lot of mothers and their children were separated, and that especially affected mothers of grown children and children with older mothers. There is that separation. And then on the other hand, in my own experience and yours, with the stage of life that we're in, there was this sort of increased time together. Together, right. And unexpected blessings and burdens that gave to us and our experience of motherhood. Maybe we had in the past delegated out many of our motherly, many of our childcare responsibilities, or many of our educational, needs were at a school or outside of the home. And the pandemic brought it all home, right? And we were suddenly working together and learning together and living together all the hours of the day. So I wanted to tie together both of those experiences and put them in the light of our Blessed Mother Mary, because mm-hmm. she really, all throughout my life, I've reflected a lot on how she brings together physical motherhood and spiritual motherhood in her person. But in this context, I really saw her as bringing together the trials of family life together and family life when we're ripped apart, and that those two threads. So I wanted to bring that all into the light of our Mother Mary and see what she showed us.
Absolutely, and that is a wonderful reflection, because of course Mother's Day falls in the month of May, when we are reflecting greatly on Mary. I wanted to turn to that experience that you mentioned about these diverse experiences, I suppose, that mothers have had this year. Joan, you've written several stories about mothers. One where you talk to a series of mothers in different experiences. What did you find as you? This was at the early part of. I guess it should have been the later part of last year in 2020, when you first talked to about three or four women who just kind of told you their story of what they were experiencing. What did you find?
Well, first, I just want to say, Erica, I enjoyed your guest editorial a lot, and I thought it integrated so many different aspects of my own experience as a mother, as a woman, as a writer, reporter. One of the benefits as a Catholic is that we can have these many layered experiences in a deeper sense, and that idea of both spiritual motherhood and physical motherhood, I think, has been really important. And I saw that in the lives of some of the women I spoke with. These were women helping their families navigate protests and violence going on this past year, a family based in the Minneapolis area. It was a Hispanic mother who also engages in outreach for the Archdiocese of Denver. And she ended up starting a Zoom conversation for Hispanic mothers, and found it very moving. These were mothers who had come with their families. They were, there for the American dream. And then suddenly with the pandemic, these are people who have prioritized work, maybe over education because of sort of the need for survival. And they had lost their jobs because of the pandemic and the kinds of jobs they had they couldn't do. Their children were at home, but they didn't have the technical background to support them. And she was there to kind of guide the spiritual discussion and also deal with some of the emotional, social turmoil, some of it quite serious. And I thought, what a great example of spiritual motherhood, someone they trusted and who could kind of work with them and take them through this experience and help them resolve some of these issues. And then there was a mom who has had ongoing chronic health conditions, which flared up during the pandemic. But, her prayer life deepened as she spent her time working on her children's homeschooling. So, I was talking to a friend about it before this call, and she was saying, boy, one of the key themes is need unites during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen how need is uniting families that have families. And then at the same time, it also calls on us to reach out to people who may not have those families, those extended families to turn to, or those families are far away and can't help them. And like this woman, the Hispanic woman, she was there to help those families who are far away from their grandmothers,
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a beautiful beautiful experience, perhaps one of the opportunities that happened in this last year, where there were so many challenges. And Erica, you did write about some of these opportunities. What were the opportunities that you saw in this last year?
Yeah, and I don't want it to sound like, oh, there's a silver lining to every cloud, but as Catholics, we believe that through the cross, we find new life and resurrection. And I think the opportunities that we saw in families really kind of came on the heels of being forced to spend more time together and to find ways, for lack of a better word, to entertain one another and to get to know each other better during those long hours. So maybe we were families who had soccer and piano and community theater and all these different commitments outside of the home. That being shut down turned us inwards and gave us an opportunity to have family dinner every night, right? Mm-hmm. For that time to make these pods and smaller communities with our parishes where we could safely interact and follow the restrictions, but maybe get to know a neighbor better or get to know someone in the parish better during that time. In the homeschooling world, which is where I work, there was definitely a discovery among many parents that they had something in them where they could help educate their children or even primarily educate their children that they didn't know was in there before. And they suddenly realized because of the necessity of the mother invention, I can teach my child addition. I do know how to do phonics with a first grader and some support and guidance. And this, there was a certain joy in that, even as there was still, you know, some fear and some trembling that we all have when faced with something new, there was also a discovery of a grace that we are able to spend more time together, to be joyful, to grow in our faith as a family, and to really dig into motherhood and that time together.
Yeah, talking about discoveries, studies in microchimerism, the presence of the cells of one individual within another genetically distinct individual. You talk about this in your piece, that you reveal that children's cells actually live on in their mother's bodies.
Yes.
And that each and every child leaves a cellular mark on his or her mother. That's a pretty extraordinary development.
It is. And I think, you know, as a Catholic, I see so many spiritual sort of parallels with that. But yes, this is microchimerism, for those who don't know, is a study, a biological sub-study in how one individual's cells inhabit the body of a genetically distinct individual. And so there have been studies of female cadavers who were mothers who still have the cells of their now grown and sometimes even deceased children in their livers, their hearts, their lungs. And so a motherhood really on a deep biological level transforms our bodies. And for anyone who's interested in that, there's a great new book out by Abigail Tucker, and it's called Mom Genes, which is very cute, but it's Mom Genes, G-E-N-E-S, not the denim. But she goes into the science of this. She's actually a fellow parishioner with me here at St. Mary's in New Haven, Connecticut, and I would recommend that for anyone who's interested in this sort of physical study of physical motherhood and what it transforms. But like I said, it really, for me, it's sort of a sacramental, right? It's an outward sign of an inward transformation that every mother has who goes through this this bonding with her child spiritually. And it's not always an easy connection, because, you know, our children often go on to grow up and break our hearts in many ways. We break their hearts. And the bond makes it that much more painful. But it also just illustrates the gift that motherhood is in this intense community and togetherness that, again, the pandemic really brought to the fore and made very poignant for us this past year.
I did want to mention that Abigail Tucker was speaking this week at, I believe it was at the Smithsonian. She had a magazine article at the Smithsonian, The Making of Moms. It's a fascinating read. And of course, I think you bringing this up in an editorial on mothers was surprising to me, to say the least. I just didn't expect that connection. Joan, I wanted to turn to you as we kind of close this discussion. It's really, you bring a different perspective than Erica and I, who are still in the throes of our kids at home, very young ages. Your kids are not at home, or haven't been at home for most of this year anyway, maybe in and out. What has this year been like for you personally?
Well, actually, it's such a great question, because I think it has been so personal for every single person, the pluses and minuses, the great moments. And for me, I have actually had I have children who are
The youngest is 27 and the oldest is 32. The 32-year-old got married this year to a wonderful young woman. So we had a COVID wedding, no transmissions, no viral information there. So that had to be planned and organized, and we all played a role in that, my husband in particular. Then various children were living with us, including my son and his new wife, which was really great because it was a chance to get to know my daughter-in-law. But then equally profound was the fact that my wonderful mother-in-law, who always spends the winter, she's a Cape Cod Codder, and she comes out for the winter to California. She was with us for 4 months. But we cut that short this past year at the beginning of the pandemic, worried that California was going to have a more serious outbreak. And then she was on her own for a long time as a result, as so many older people were, and then we reconnected. Well, now she's recently had an accident and at the tail end of the pandemic, and we're all back here trying to support her and help her get back on her feet, just like she supported us when we had young children, and mm-hmm. she helped us in so many different ways to help, you know, to guide us and inspire us and provide just, you know, back-breaking practical support, as many grandparents do. And so it's just great to have that reciprocity right now and to appreciate how moving and profound that is.
Absolutely. I appreciate both of you. I just want to thank you so much for sharing kind of the personal side of things and also what you, you know, what you have studied or what you have reported on this year. I mean, this really has been a tremendous year. I was even, as I prepped for this show, I saw, you know, the government has studies out on where women were this year and how many people left the workforce out of necessity because childcare was on their shoulders. You know, the care of their children was on their shoulders in a different way this year. There were a lot of challenges, but I think it is so important for us to recognize mothers anew for the ways that they have changed all of our lives and the ways they continue to serve us and just appreciate them this year. So, Joan, Erica, thank you so much for your motherhood and the gifts you've shared with us today.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Thank you, Jeanette.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will turn to Alisa Murphy for highlights on stories at NC Register that you won't want to miss. Stay tuned to Register Radio here on EWTN Radio. There's more when we return.
This Easter season, read for faith, read for truth, read for life by giving yourself the gift of EWTN's National Catholic Register. Easter inaugurates a joyous season of hope and renewal that brings us closer to God. Gain a deeper understanding of His love and providence in reading the Register. Make this Easter season even more meaningful. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get your 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code RADIO. That's ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code RADIO. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and we just had a wonderful conversation about motherhood. And, of course, motherhood is one of my favorite things, aside from this wonderful work at the Register. And Alisa Murphy joins me now. Alisa, you are also a mom of a young one. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you so much, and you too.
And you know, you keep up with all of the Register's digital assets. So you're keeping the website up all the time, social media up all the time. It's kind of like 24/7 work. But you have this little one in tow all the time, and you really juggle that well, Alisa. So I commend you for just giving it your all. You're a wonderful mom.
Well, thank you so much. And I do have a little juggler myself. Annabelle is quite the little juggler these days, running around, getting into all sorts of mischief. She's just a pure joy.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's just amazing to look at this past year and see what I had imagined motherhood to be pre-pandemic, you know, taking Annabelle to Mommy and Me classes and even daily mass, and things were completely uprooted. But there are so many silver linings when you consider the fact, you know, my husband is home now most of the time. So there's a lot of silver linings as well. So God always has the plan, and we just have to follow it.
Yes, that's very, very true. And so we've got a lot of great Mother's Day content at ncregister.com. You know, I mentioned a story in the last segment that Joan Frawley Desmond did on mothers in COVID, at the end of last year. It was called COVID 2020 Moms. Let's just say I'm not in charge, okay? I just wanted to say the name of that title because I didn't mention it in the last segment, and it's a really good story. It just tells mom's stories in this last year. And certainly we all know that was definitely the mantra of last year. I am not in charge, right? But,
yes.
But Elisa, what other stories do we have on the website right now that we should mention for our listeners?
You know, we have some beautiful stories this weekend that are definitely worth the read, including a very moving piece. You may need your Kleenex to read it. I will forewarn you. Motherhood, Secondary Infertility, and Salvation by Susanna Spencer is currently up right now at ncregister.com. And, you know, a lot of us discuss fertility, but secondary fertility is a real thing for a lot of infertility is a real thing for a lot of families. She had four children and also three that died in the womb, but she opens up about the emotional turmoil of really wanting another child and standing at on vacation with her family as the doctor is talking to her and tears are streaming down her face, understanding that she won't bear another child. And it's really all about coming.
Don't give
to
any
terms.
More away. It's a good read. Don't give any more away.
Yes,
but it
yes,
is. It's
yes.
About that trust. It's about that
yes.
trust. And yes,
yes
I totally
is.
Agree. I can understand where she is, having three of my own as an older mom, and of course wanting more. And anyway, I know where she is. And so what an amazing read that is. And definitely worthwhile. There's one I'm going to jump in and mention. It's one on mother superiors. Mothers of religious orders, right? And so this is a spiritual motherhood. Another aspect of celebrating mothers is those who are spiritual mothers and maybe not physical mothers. So this is called Models of Maternal Values, and it's by Susan Clement, again at ncregister.com. Worth the read of just telling the stories of Dominican and Benedictine mother superiors and what we can learn from them.
Yeah, you know, that's really beautiful. Another piece that's very, very much worth your time this weekend, and her new book is out right now, Lila Rose. Patty Armstrong was able to interview her on her new book, Fighting for Life, Becoming a Force for Change in a Wounded World, and Lila Rose herself starting live action when she was only 15. She really is a model for so many. And she does, she actually just revealed this week that she is expecting another child. So that is very exciting. But that review is up right now as well. And it really does pull on your heartstrings because she talks about what drove her to her work, was really seeing images of an aborted child when she was 9 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And those images have just spurned her ever since.
Yeah, that I have not read that that interview yet, so I'll have to go take a look at that one. Quite a story. You know, one of our frequent guests here on Register Radio is Andrea Picciotti Bayer. She always covers religious liberty, and she's a great legal analyst for us at the Register. But you know, she has become a friend to me. I've talked to her quite a bit in the last year, and she is a wonderful friend. And you know, she's written a piece on Mary and friendship, and it's titled, These Four Attributes of Mary Will Help You Become a Better Friend to Your Friends. It's, again, worth the read. It's not Andrea being a legal analyst, but Andrea being a woman, a mother, and a friend. And
she's always known as the legal eagle, but she writes some very moving and touching blogs. And this one is very, very good. And really, you know, touching upon accompaniment, of course, in this year too of isolation, is so important, and all that we can learn from Mary. And she talks too about the growing in the life of prayer. And this now being the Marian month of May, Pope Francis calling us to unite ourselves in prayer, praying the rosary to end the pandemic. It's such a beautiful thought as well.
Now, I'm going to mention one thing that I teased in the intro, and we're not going to get into it, but Archbishop Cordiglione out in San Francisco did a wonderful letter on communion, on the Eucharist, and on why politicians who are not in line with the church or not in communion should not be receiving it. It is very much worth the read. It's at a website called inthewomb.org, and everybody should go there and read that. But, you know, as we get to the end here, I need to mention the artificial intelligence story that Solène Tadier did. Please fill us in on that, Elisa.
You know, she talks to an Italian priest, and it's so interesting because, of course, the church has been honed in on all spectrum of things, including artificial intelligence. And many of us throw up red flags when we think of it, thinking of it being as contrary to God. But this Italian priest gets into the fact that really, really machines are there to serve a function, a purpose. And as humans, we have such a higher calling in a relationship with God and our family and ourselves, that we shouldn't fear it, that it actually should be something that we can embrace. So it's very much worth your read. It really is. And it's right now up at ncregister.com.
And of course, Our Lady of Fatima Feast Day is coming up. There's going to be plenty of content at ncregister.com on May 13th. Please go to NC Register for more news, analysis, and commentary. Always at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.